At the dawn of creation, a beautiful garden bloomed in the land of Eden, planted by God himself. The sparkling river that flowed through it watered the plants and trees that grew there. In this garden, God placed his children to care for it and to live peacefully alongside him forever. But because they brought sin into this paradise, God banished them from Eden and sent them into the wilderness to work the land. And God cursed the ground and caused it to bear thorns and thistles, yielding food only through man's physical toil and hard labor. Though they no longer lived with him in the perfection of Eden, God never left his children. He saw their struggles and heard their cries. And the Lord said, "I will restore the land. I will cause rivers to flow on the barren hills and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water. The dry earth will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice and burst into bloom once more like a glorious garden."
Come rejoicing, come rejoicing, come rejoicing.
God said, "The poor and needy cry out. Let those who thirst come, and I will give them water. Their deserts will be like Eden, and their wastelands like a garden of joy. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing will once again be heard in Zion." God promised, the land became fruitful. He watched over it and watered it continually with his blessing. No longer was the land called desolate. In what had once been a dry desert, God's perfect blossom, the rose of Sharon, began to grow. Out of the slumbering earth, the slender stem took root. Those who were weary from their labors found rest in this new promise of life. Their parched spirits renewed by the water that sustained it.
There's a rose.
like a fragrance permeating the air. News of the rose spread quickly wherever he went. By the time he reached the city of Jerusalem, crowds began to line the path, waving palms and laying branches before him. Hosannas rang through the narrow streets as the people pressed closer to catch a glimpse of the one named Jesus, the one they called Messiah. Crowds followed the rose, the piercing eyes of his heart always saw the individual in need. The disciples at times rebuked the clamoring throngs, but the rose was filled with compassion. He lovingly revived the weary, healed the broken, and breathed life into the dead. With a gift for teaching truths, he summed up his ministry with two basic commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Touched by his wisdom and humility, the flower of hope had begun to bloom in the hearts of the people.
Spirit.
Despite the blossoming admiration of the people, seeds of discontent had been sown among the religious and political leaders. Realizing that his popularity was growing, the chief priests plotted to uproot the rose. His remaining days short, he retreated to a moonlit garden for solace. Although he longed to have the bitter cup of sacrifice removed, he prayed for his father's will to be accomplished. And there, among the trees and flowers, the noble rose bent over in sorrow and wept. That evening, the temple guard arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest for questioning. At daybreak, he was taken before Pilate, who was the Roman governor. Knowing that the priest acted out of envy, Pilate planned to punish Jesus to satisfy them and then release him. Now, it was the custom at the Passover to release a prisoner of the people's choosing. Pilate therefore put the matter before the people. Choose Jesus, who had committed no crime, or choose Barabbas, an obviously dangerous criminal who was in prison for murder. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd's emotions. The welcoming cries of Hosanna were now faded, and the streets echoed with shouts of, "Give us Barabbas." Astounded, Pilate asked, "What shall I do with the one called Jesus?" To which the frenzied mob thundered, "Crucify him!" Inside the praetorium, Jesus was stripped and mocked. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. They put a purple robe on him and struck him repeatedly. When they were finished, they put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Outside the city, they nailed the rose to a cross and planted it on a hill called Calvary.
Crucify him, let the rose on Calvary.
beaten and bruised, his beard plucked out. The rose bore no signs of beauty. He was a sight to be pitied, turned away from. His head, still adorned with the crown of thorns, bled, the drops falling like crimson petals upon the ground. Outwardly stripped of his dignity, with great effort he summoned his fading strength, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not understand what they are doing." The last scarlet petal fell, and the rose lay twisted and dead within the cruel embrace of the thorns.